Is it unified 23-man squad, Ellen Vannon, or is the club cliques in there? How does it work?
Again, I see it from the outside. You may get a little bit at the start, because obviously, you know, Corinthians lads, they go out socialising together. That's all part of being a club. It doesn't take long until it is a group of 23 players. The only outsider probably in the Ellen Vannon delegation is me. I'm the one that if something goes wrong, they will all club together and they all take their frustrations out of me. I don't mind that, but that's the way it works. As a unit from Chris, Lee, Paul, Rick Holden this time, Ben Carling, and the players, they are, it's like, that. Yeah, they are so together. And as I said, when something goes wrong or there's some issue, they've got to aim their focus at somebody, and they don't do it within the group. They go outside the group, and it's more than likely it's me that's going to get it in the neck, which is good to see. And that's what Chris tries to do. The big thing that he says to them all is, you know, we don't have backbiting. We don't have issues. You know, we are there as a group. He expects some players to be upset when they're not in the starting 11. He'd be absolutely annoyed if they weren't annoyed that they're not playing, because that shows no drive or commitment. What you witness amongst the group is absolutely fantastic. During the period that we will be there, I have no doubts about any problems whatsoever with behaviour, with respect for the opposition, with anything. The only time we ever have a problem is the last night. But you can see it. Why? For a full 10 days, they are not controlled, but they adhere to
respect for the rules.
What Chris puts down. And on that last night, it all comes out. But it's fun. Yeah. You know, it is a fun time, but it all comes out.
So for you, Dean, how was it first time coming into the team? Obviously, there was a lot of St George's guys in there. You've got the Chris Bass, obviously, the main man at St George's, winning all these trophies, etc., etc. And then you've got to come in. And how was that for you?
It was good because I know a lot of the players as well. When you play them like week in, week out, you end up getting to know each other as well. I went to school with a few of the players as well. And I played with some of the players that as well that played at Russian. So it's like you just get on with them. And from the day one, as Malcolm said, we just come together and you just click. Like I say, there's 11 Geordies, 6 Corinthians, but it doesn't feel like that when you're with them all. It feels like you're just one unit then. Like you've got the likes of me and Mikey from Russian that'll be there. I went to school with Mikey, used to play with him many years ago as well as a kid. And the likes of Tom Callas, etc., Corinthians, we used to all play together. So it's just one of them. You just get to know each other. Even when it comes to a Saturday game, then you're against each other. But outside of the football game, you're really good friends as well. But I enjoy it. I really do like it because it adds that competitiveness as well to it. You want to be better than your friend. You want to be better than them. You want to be better than this. It's just the nature of football, in my opinion. You just want to be better than everyone else, in my opinion.
So what's it like for you, Chris? You spend your Saturdays competing against these guys, and all of a sudden they're in the fold and.
Yeah, I think for me it's about being together, and what you'll find when you go to any football club, somebody will say to somebody else, "Well, I thought so and so was poor today, and I thought that you should have played, and I think that we should have done this." But the minute you start to talk like that, you don't actually realise that you're undermining somebody that's actually there in the same squad as you are. So it's vitally important that you don't backstab. If you have something to say, my door's always open. Come and knock on it, talk to me about it, and then we'll take it from there. But I just cannot stand the backbiting and the sniping of like he's better or he shouldn't be playing or like, because you don't get anywhere. It's all those comments, they're negative. There's nothing positive to come from that, and you'll achieve nothing with a negative attitude. So if we go in positive, and at the end of the day, if we win together, we lose together. So, and Malcolm's quite right. You know, he is on the outside of the group because he's the one that gets the stick. If things aren't working for us, if something's not required or it's not there that we actually require, then they're the sort of questions that Malcolm's, you know, that he gets asked. But other than that, football-wise, Malcolm does a great job. He leaves everything to myself, Lee, Paul, Paul O'Brien and Ben, you know, in that respect, which is good. And we just try and do the best we can as a group. And it's, we win together, we lose together. That it, it's all, it's the psychology of it.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I think worth pointing out to people that haven't sort of been behind the scenes of Alan Bannon is the amazing professionalism and preparation that goes in. You know, not many people be aware that all the players are monitored in every game. They all wear vests that provide a heck of a lot of information back to Ben Carling in relation to sprint distances, in relation to number of challenges, impacts, in relation to ground covered. He does weigh-ins before they start the match, weigh-ins after the match. He works out whether they're dehydrated, whether they need to take on more water before a game. I have never experienced anything like it in what is amateur football. That information then goes to Chris, Lee, Paul, Rick and Ben. And they use that information then in relation to selection for a game for the following day. Now, the players won't have thought, possibly, why aren't I in the starting 11? Well, actually, maybe nothing. They might have thought, I played really well today. I was superb. But the stats show that that player is now tired.
Right, okay.
So Chris, on them sort of stats, will work out, well, no, that player, Ben, will come and say, no, he needs a rest. He's burnt out. He will be able to give you 10, 15 minutes. And that, to me, is amazing. That has taken, that's, I think, taken Alan Bannon to the position it is in Khenifa, that why we can compete, that by providing that platform for the players. I mean, I bet even Dean was shocked when he finished the Punjab and the Yorkshire match, there was actually stats about what he'd done. You know, that he'd walked, you know, 2 feet 6 inches during the game, you know. It was all there.
I had the vest on in the Yorkshire game, but I didn't have it in
you
Punjab.
You didn't do it for the Punjab, no.
No.
No, I think we gave up. Your stats were negative, so.
I think there's a lot to be learned, and each time we go, we try to improve on what we've done before. But the biggest factor for me is that the teams that we're playing against, they, because of where they are, they tend to get a lot more fixtures in during the season. And the Punjab team has played Liverpool under 23s or 21s. It's played the England C team, has played a number of the games. But for us, because of, you know, the association and the league and where we come from and Alan Bannon, we can't find the time to do that and to do all that. And it costs a lot of money, so which makes it very, very difficult to take us to the next level. So we have to use whatever we can by any means to improve. And if we get a good run of games, then maybe we'll do all right. But Cascadia will have decent players. Tamil Eelam, they're a busy team like we are. Barawa, Malcolm said, you know, we're on home turf, but the Barawa team, all of them live in London, so I think they're on home turf and they'll know their way around and be streetwise on the pitches over there. So that'll be a tough game. But hopefully we can get through.
One thing with Barawa for you, Chris, which I'll give you, which I haven't mentioned to you, it's actually Ramadan.
Okay.
During the tournament, which they are all, I assume, you know, Muslim.
Yeah.
So basically, they will not be allowed to eat from sunrise to sunset. So, you know, during that period, you know, might be struggling a bit for fitness and what have you. But yeah, I mean, it's quite difficult for them to imagine they're playing a tournament with not being having any food.
Well, I don't think they'll be so stringent on that.
They
I
are 100%.
Yeah, no, they've got to eat something. They have to have some intake of food. Play all those games and not eat for a week.